travel bans and quarantines, nothing new for Hawaii Nei. HPR's Ku'u Vahiri, she joins us live this morning with a look back at Hawaii history and pandemics.
Good morning, Catherine. Yes, this story of disease and death from disease is fairly well known here in Hawaii. But I really wanted to focus on sort of the public health intervention. So things that RLEE during the Kingdom of Hawaii, things that they did to try to contain these diseases and save their people. If we look at the numbers, so there's different estimates of what the population was like when Captain James Cook arrived in 1778, and they vary from around 700,000 people to as many as a million people were here in Hawaii before, we call it contact. But by 1890s, there were about 40,000 Native Hawaiians listed, so that's about 90% population reduction over the course of a century, mostly and in large part due to these infectious diseases that Native Hawaiians lack the immunity against. So when we talk about, you know, how we've been dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic here in Hawaii for several months now, the Kingdom of Hawaii really dealt with this problem, this ongoing problem for 50 plus years, right, as sort of one novel virus after another began making its way to Hawaii. So those types of situations were dealt with by our ali'i. Ron Williams Jr., a Hawaiian history scholar, gave us the example of Alexander Liholiho, Kamehameha IV. In the 1850s, he opens up, I think in 1855, opens up the Hawaiian Kingdom Legislature, saying the main issue that I want you guys to focus, that I want us to focus on, is death from disease and public health. And he comes up with a proposal and an idea that he thinks we should all move on.
He proposes, you know, the best countries of the world, the most advanced countries of the world have the most advanced technology and the best doctors and so forth. And so he proposes a hospital. There hadn't been a public hospital here before that. And he proposes a public hospital for Native Hawaiians and others that will take care of these problems and will have the best technology and the best doctors and so forth. And the legislature says no. By that time, we had switched from a absolute monarchy to a constitutional monarchy. So the king wasn't absolutely in charge, and the legislature refused to give him the funding for the hospital. Now, he went out himself with his wife, Queen Emma, and gathered funds and got the hospital built. But again, it's one of those issues of public health and safety and how serious, you know, our government takes it.
Right. So as we know, that is the predecessor to what we know now as Queen's Hospital. The founders, Alexander Liholiho and his Queen Emma, his wife, helped build that hospital without the help of the legislature initially.
Interesting.
Later on, things came around, but that idea of having infighting and you know, not really being on the same page, right, legislature and executive, is something that we continue to grapple with today. But as Hawaii's ports began to open up to the world, right, missionaries, merchants, whalers, and later plantation laborers, the diseases began to disproportionately kill off Native Hawaiians. And Dr. Ben Young, who's the former dean of students over at the UH Medical School and was the physician on board Hokulea's maiden voyage in 1976, he says questions about restricting travel and screening incoming travelers that our leaders are faced with today was brought up nearly 200 years ago. So in 1836, Kuhina Nui Kina'u ordered that all ships entering Hawaiian waters would be boarded and inspected for smallpox.
So this period of boarding and inspecting all ships was very, very crucial because this was the first public health law passed in Hawaii. The pilot of the harbor was instructed to board every ship because they observed that whenever ships came into Honolulu Harbor, diseases escalated. And the orders were that if anyone was on board who was sick, that ship was to be placed under quarantine, a yellow flag was to be raised, no one was allowed to disembark. Crewmen, passengers, everyone was prohibited from entering the land.
It sounds like a very simple idea, but the understanding, Dr. Young had said, the understanding of public health and disease theory and how diseases are transmitted, those were very new. There was new knowledge to everyone, including the Western doctors that were still coming to Hawaii at the time. So just that basic logic of saying, okay, well, I think when these ships come in, diseases come, so let's start there.
Interesting.
Right, simple idea. We actually have, I got to find the original order, which was in the state archives, and we have it up on our website, and it's just interesting to see that these same issues came up nearly 200 years ago.
Right. So if you're scared now, can you imagine what it was like way back then when they didn't have all the good science that we have?
Exactly. And I think by the mid 1800s, similar orders would follow throughout kind of the different Kamehameha kings and Lunalilo and Kalakaua later. But things like vital statistic data began to be collected across all islands, just to understand how the death rate of these diseases, but also the birth rates. And I believe we did find at least one inter-island travel ban that happened where a disease broke out on Oahu, and then travel from the other islands and or to the other islands was banned in order to contain that. And to my understanding, it did help. And also, and this is something that I learned in my research, but the Board of Health, a Board of Health was established here in Hawaii in 1851, and that was apparently years before anything similar would come up throughout the rest of the country and here in the United States. So that idea of having to deal with all of these disease and death by disease, and knowing that public health needs to be that priority was something that was very prevalent at the time. And in some instances, and I like this story too, Ali'i offered up their own land and resources to aid in containing infectious diseases. So public health scholar Kiloha Fox shares the story of Victoria Kamamalu, who in 1863 sets up an isolation area on her land in Kaka'ako, known as Ka'akau Kukui. So this is kind of where Abjabsum is, the John A. Burns School of Medicine. The same area was Kamamalu's land. And she had set up an isolation area on her land for victims of the smallpox epidemic. And I mean, this was for everyone, the very sick, the old, the poor. Whoever needed help had a place to be cared for.
One thing that is very important right now is that we don't understand really the full picture of the virus biology. We don't understand evidence.
So I think, you know, sorry, that clip wasn't going to play, but basically when it comes to this spot of land in Kaka'ako, what Fox was saying is that it's a lesson for our leaders today to have that principle of sharing or making sure that everyone involved or impacted by this disease, by this coronavirus pandemic, be cared for.
All right. Yeah. Fascinating history. Thank you so much, Kuvehi.
Thanks.
We have been chatting with Kuvehi Irishi about Hawaii's history with pandemics and what we can learn from the past.